This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
I know you'll be alright, even when times get hard and you feel like you're in the dark. You will see just how beautiful life can be when you soften your heart. You can finally start to live your truthiest life.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Truthiest Life. It's your host, Lisa Hamm, and today's episode is really personal for me because it's with two girls that I actually went to high school with. Jen and Emily were two girls in my high school that have now gone on to become therapists and created an incredible workbook together that aims at helping people heal from self-harming behaviors. Now, the two of them were not always these peaceful living people. They actually both came from chaotic homes and have history of self-harm. They only recently reconnected when one of them went on a podcast talking about her own self-harm and mentioned that she learned from an older girl. That older girl happened to be Emily, and Emily reached out to talk about it, maybe apologize, and they ended up forming a really deep connection and adding meaning to the world by way of this amazing workbook. In this conversation, which is very open, myself included, opening up about things in high school that my subconscious conveniently forgot, we talk about topics such as self-harm, and I want to make sure that anybody who's in that place is well aware before entering this episode. If anybody listening is thinking of self-harming or is, I want to let you know that you can text CONNECT for free 24/7, which provides you with 24/7 crisis counseling and healthy coping mechanisms. The conversation is really beautiful. You could really see that the two of them have shifted their lives entirely. And I say it in this episode, but they're complete inspirations to me as to what you came from doesn't always have to be your reality. They have worked so hard and diligently on themselves, learning new coping mechanisms and creating lives that truly support the people that they want to be. And I think that that really comes through. I'm going to link below their workbook. It's called A Well Mind Space Workbook, A Guide for Self-Discovery and Healing. It's really a fantastic way to dive inward, get to know yourself, get to know your own triggers, and put safety plans in place for any places that you or someone you know might fall victim to harming themselves. This conversation is so eye-opening because a lot of the things we think we know about what we do as people actually has deeper psychology and physiological reasoning, and the two of them beautifully display that for us. So proud of you, Jen and Emily. Thank you for coming on The Truthiest Life and for living your truthiest lives. This conversation is incredibly powerful. Let's jump in. Hello, Jen and Emily. Welcome to The Truthiest Life.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited to be with you guys for a little bit of background. The three of us went to high school together. Emily and I are the same grade. Jen is a year younger. So this is the first time I'm probably speaking to both of you since high school. Is that possible?
Probably. Yeah.
Definitely.
That's frightening just because we all look the exact same.
Sure.
But really, I can't believe that it's been so long.
Me either. It's wild.
So the two of you have a really interesting story. Will one of you walk us back into how you recently reconnected?
So we were each on another podcast. You were on also, the former high school teacher. And we each told our own stories. And Jen had mentioned in her story something about me. She didn't name me, but when she said it, I was like, oh, okay, I think that's me. And I reached out to her about it. And she was like, yep, it was you. And we started talking more and connecting, you know, reminiscing about our past relationship and what actually connected us together.
Yeah, it was actually really weird because when I recorded that podcast, I got really nervous because the question was like, did anybody teach you about self-harm? And obviously I didn't mention Emily's name, but when she heard it back, she messaged me on Instagram and she and I hadn't spoken in probably a few years. And she had asked, is that me? And I was like, yes, but you know, we did this whole back and forth and it just kind of then like reconnected us. And ironically, we have very similar histories since high school. So it was just like a really cool thing to come together after that and really discuss like what happened with the two of us together.
And fast forward to what led to this conversation is the two of you are now working together and came out with this amazing workbook. But before we jump there, just to give a little bit more background into the stories that connected you both, a teacher of ours in our high school started a podcast and he brings people on to share their high school experience under his assumption that high school matters, meaning what happens in high school has an impact on your life in some way. And I listened to both of your episodes, knowing both of you. Emily, maybe you a little bit better than Jen, but I feel like I knew you by the end of high school, Jen, you know, from cheerleading, I think, and some other things. But what I didn't know is like who they were individually at home. And that's the part that they kind of shared. They shared about struggling with depression and self-harm. And it was so eye-opening. I don't know. You know, like these are two people that I knew really well. And Jen, I definitely didn't know anything that was going on in your life. Emily, I knew a little bit. But just high school, the magnitude of the things that we go through as young adults by ourselves, I forgot or I didn't know. And it was so brave of you both to share those really dark parts of your lives that, you know, you got through so beautifully.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a weird experience because I had not ever really, obviously with close friends, had spoken about some of these things. But even a lot of my close friends, when they listened to the podcast, had no idea what was going on, right? And in high school, I can speak for myself, but I think we have this idea that like everyone knows what's happening with us, right? Like mm-hmm. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, or I feel like sometimes it's this self-absorbed, like everyone knows everything, or like I'm the only one going through something, right? Sometimes there's like no in between. And so a lot of my close friends were like, I had no idea that you were going through X, Y, and Z. I knew certain things, but not others. So it was a really interesting experience to really disclose it in a very open way.
I remember when you said that some of the self-harming techniques you, I believe you said, learned from an older girl who turned out to be Emily. But in that moment, like people came to mind who that could have been, but it was not Emily. Again, I knew Emily. And although I knew there were difficult things happening in your home, you're still a very like light person. You were always had a laugh and a smile, and that wasn't faked. So it was very surprising for me, somebody who I think is also like intuitive and sad, that I didn't know that, you know, Emily, that you were going through those things. And to your point, I think you said it so well, Jen, like you either think that nobody else could understand or everybody just knows and it's the same. And I think I fall into that camp of like, we're all going through it, but then like, we're not. We're all actually having very different experiences.
That's so true. And I think it's interesting for me to hear you say that my smile was genuine, because reflecting on it, my first reaction was, well, it wasn't, but actually it was, right? Like in those moments when I was in school or socializing around people, it was genuine. It was a smile that I felt. But then when I would go home and I was alone with my thoughts and I was alone with myself, that's when all of that sadness came forward. That's when all of that struggle to deal with what my home environment was, what my inner world was, really, I couldn't ignore it.
Jen learned from Emily. Emily, did you learn from somebody else?
No, not in a conscious way. So I remember the first time I self-harmed, I was in ninth grade. And essentially, I think I had gotten into a fight with my mom or something like that. But I remember that the feeling that birthed the self-harm for me was anger. Do you know when you feel anger in like that physical way and you just need that physical release of it? For whatever reason, in that moment, what I went to, my tweezers were sitting on my desk or vanity, and I saw them and I grabbed them and I cut myself with them. And that was the first time I ever cut. And it really felt like this instinctual, visceral place of knowing I needed to get out from inside my body what was happening. But I didn't have effective tools to do that. I didn't have any tools at that point. I found this tool in that moment. So it's interesting to realize that I didn't actually learn it from someone. Again, not necessarily on a conscious level, but it just came from inside of me.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Again, it's hard for me to hear these things just because I was there-ish, and to know what happens after that 3 o'clock bell goes on and we go home. And school is hard for so many reasons, but at the same time, for a lot of people, it's their safe place. It's away from our family drama. We tuck it all away. Both of you, from my memory, you know, were popular girls that had girlfriends or boyfriends, and you guys weren't like, you didn't go to school and you were socially isolated, I guess, in my mind. So just to know that like that was maybe some sort of a safe place. But when you get home, it's the reality of like of your life. It's hard for me to hear. But I think when you said primal emotion and anger, right, like it's so real. And I so vividly felt that you said like itching to crawl out of your own body. I don't know if that perfectly describes anxiety or some other human experience that has another name, but I've certainly been there, and I assume our listeners have been in there, and it's in those moments you'll do anything to get out.
It's so true. Yeah, I think you're right. That is, for me, also the experience of anxiety, like this discomfort of being in your own skin and just wanting to shift whatever is happening. And yeah, especially when you're young and you don't have certain role models to teach you the healthy ways to deal with those feelings, because we all feel them. It's not unique to experience anxiety. It's how we cope with them. So yeah, I think that is exactly right.
And add anger into it. I feel like that's really like the recipe, just kind of as we're saying it, and you guys are the therapist, so pull me back if I'm wrong, but it's like you've got anxiety that kind of makes you like spin in circles and itch and feel uncomfortable. But I guess since we're all being honest, I had one moment in my entire life that I considered self-harm or attempted. And I don't know, it didn't feel real enough compared to your story. But the icing on the cake there was anger. It was a bout of anger on top of all the feelings of stuckness that I was like, okay, this is something. And I never, I didn't get so far because there was no release after that. It was not deep or anything like that. But the desire to was.
And that doesn't invalidate the experience. You know, you still felt and went through all of that, you know, and it still is self-harm. And I'm glad it wasn't worse. And I'm glad it didn't, you know, develop into anything. It was still, you know, your experience of that.
So the two of you at some point connected in high school. And Emily, what was it like to share that with somebody else? To first of all, admit that you do that, or to like teach?
I never shared with Jen with the intention of teaching her. I want to make sure that I'm clear about that. Mm. For me and for most people who self-harm, it's all about self-destruction, right? You're not looking to be aggressive outwardly towards anyone else. And so when Jen and I connected, you know, I knew her family life was very similar to mine. We both were products of divorce. We both had parents that weren't always present for us. And I remember I think this was the moment. Jen was in my car. We were driving around. We were listening to music. And I just felt connected to her. And I shared with her what I was experiencing. And I think, and Jen, maybe you remember also, but I think in that moment, you had also been sharing with me certain things that you were going through. And it was just this unfortunate but beautiful connection. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly. It was never, and I do want to be very clear about this. It was never Emily called me and was like, Jen, look at this thing I'm doing. You should do it too, kind of thing. Like, it works. You know, it was never like that. It was very much that is the distinct memory in your yellow Xterra. Yep. I remember it vividly. I remember it vividly. But we were probably both just sharing openly. And I think it really was in passing of you mentioning that you've cut before. When Emily reached out to me after the podcast came out, I wanted to make it very clear to her that no matter who it was, I could have heard it on the radio. I could have heard it in a song. I could have watched it in a movie, seen it in a commercial, heard some random people on the street talking about cutting. At that point in my life, it was just something that stuck in my head. Whether it came from Emily or not, it was something that I needed at the time to find something to numb the emotional pain, right? And physical pain can sometimes really numb the emotional pain, not to mention the complexities of, you know, when you bleed and endorphins and all of that, and how it literally naturally numbs your body. But it was just one of those where Emily had mentioned it and it sounded good to me, kind of thing. And that's mm-hmm. where it went from there.
Well, I mean, it's just such an incredible story how the podcast kind of created this whole circuit back to each other. And where we grew up was a really strange place. I think if anybody ever listens to the podcast, High School Matters, that comes through. You know, it's a place where everybody looks like they're doing okay. And unlike a lot of wealthy towns that surrounded us, there was a lot of drama and real drama, not high school drama. There was police called and bomb threats by the older boys that during our 4 years together and, you know, Jen, 1 year below us, the magnitude of the things that went on in our high school, you could just tell that things were not okay in a lot of the homes outside of school, even though they presented in shiny cars and expensive cars and all the things.
It's so true. And if I'm being fully transparent and vulnerable here, for me, when I, right, in high school, and I obviously came from the same place, but I was jealous of you, Lisa. I would look to you and look at your life and your family and your friends and what you looked like and felt like, oh, I'm not good enough, right? That's what you're supposed to be, right? But the reality is even then, and I hope this is okay to say, I knew that your life wasn't perfect inside your home, but it was about what I projected onto that, right? My insecurities that I just ended up projecting onto you. It could have been anyone, you know? And I think that's for a lot of people in high school and probably a lot of people who look at the high school we went to and the people in it.
Yeah.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is it. Your moment.
This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
I think that a lot of people probably assume a lot about me. And you're one of the people that have actually probably been inside my home to see more than, you know, met the eye there. So I don't know what memories you have about all of that, but I appreciate you sharing that, you know. And then I was had those same thoughts about somebody else, you know, like it's things were certainly not okay in so many aspects of my life. And I want to keep the focus on you guys today, but I share that because everything that looks perfect on the outside isn't, or looks better, even if it's not perfect. So Emily, before we jumped on though, you did say that you wanted to call, you know, if it was okay to mention some of the things that we did that you remembered and see how I felt about them. And I said, yes, you could say it, but I don't really remember off the top of my head. I might remember when you say it. So what sort of things are you remembering?
So the thing that stands out most to me when I remember some of the things that we did was being in health class together, I think in ninth grade. And we used to have this folder that we would pass back and forth to each other. I don't know if you remember that.
And it was definitely me
definitely
and you?
Okay.
I don't know what was in the folder.
Yeah, so we used to pass back and forth these cutouts from magazines of like inspiration of body types. And then we would like talk about what we ate and what we didn't eat and share our food logs essentially in that health class, you know, and went outside of that. I don't really remember, but it's that being in that class, sitting next to each other and like passing the folders back and forth that's what I remember.
I definitely remember something stemming from health class, and I don't know what they were teaching us in health that stimulated that within us. And I mean, I'm very open about my history of disordered eating and body image stuff, but my memories around, not to say they didn't exist in high school, but I don't remember what it looked like so much as when I got to college. But I do remember attempts to not eat, period. Like, it was like, we just want to be skinny. Let's just like attempt to not eat. And similar to the self-harm, like I was never any good at it, quote unquote. So I never had anorexia or had weight changes or anything. And I was already a thin girl, like you mentioned, like my body type is thin to begin with. But I think it's worth mentioning perhaps that the early 2000s were very strange in the sense that we celebrated bodies that looked anorexic or were anorexic, like that's what we saw, and maybe we still do in some capacities, but Mary-Kate and Ashley, or Mary-Kate at the time, like she had that anorexic, I think she was anorexic, and we celebrated that look in the media, and we didn't call each other out for not eating. Like, we pushed each other to not. And I don't know why, and maybe that comes from both of us coming from, you know, shaky homes, Emily, but so not okay.
Yeah, no, it's not. But we didn't know any different.
Yeah, we didn't know. We didn't know how bad it was, what we were doing or hurting each other by creating a bond over it.
Exactly. Which is similar to me and Jen, right? Same thing. There's this bond
right
here over self-harm. And it is strange to me. There was something about that time connecting with you over, you know, the body image stuff, connecting with you, Jen, over self-harm, that obviously is destructive, but I needed the connection, right? Like, it felt nice to connect with someone because everywhere else was lonely.
And I think there were a few of us in, you know, again, Jen, sorry to leave you out, but in our grade, you know, we were so grade segmented at the time that, like, I only really knew what was going on. But there, you know, I felt like I wasn't part of the quote unquote cutting club, but I know that there were a bunch of girls in our grade who were doing that would hide it under their sweatpants. We used to put slits in our sweatpants and they'd put it there. And it's just, I was laughing at the slit in our sweatpants in the fashion, not the cutting. But some of those girls were also really popular and like fast with boys. And that too made the behavior seem a little bit more normalized because the cool girls were doing it. This wasn't the emotionally retreated people who looked like they didn't have any friends. It was the popular people were doing this in our grade or in our grade. Emily, Jen, was it different in your grade?
No, the eating stuff, the body image stuff, very much in my grade as well. Very much encouraging each other to absolutely not have a regular bagel, have to scoop it out, have iced coffee for your meal, like very much body focus. From what I know, and obviously I have not talked to every single person in my grade, but I don't know personally anybody else in my grade who self-harmed. So I'm really not sure what was going on in my grade. I'm sure that there were other things, but body image was definitely a huge part. But really, Emily was the person that I had connected with. Not even, just to clarify, not even connecting around cutting in general and self-harm, but connecting around mental health and where we were and how we were doing and how we were not doing very well and not having support. But I think that then takes every shape, right? Because like, you know, depression, anxiety, disordered eating, self-harm, they're all in the category of mental health and how are we doing and who do we have to talk to?
Totally. So the two of you go on to, in the last year, create this amazing workbook, the Well Mind Space Workbook, A Guide for Self-Discovery and Healing. And it's pretty amazing now that we've heard your stories of how far the two of you have come individually and collectively, both therapists with your own businesses, helping others. And when I look at both of you, I'm also seeing like deeply peaceful people, which is, I really don't use this word a lot. And hopefully if you listen to this podcast, like, you know, I don't use this word a lot. Truly inspiring, maybe because I know you guys from, you know, and more than knowing you guys, I know your like your energies. Like I knew who you were then and what it felt like to be in your presence. And now I know what it feels like to be in your presence now. And I wouldn't describe you guys dark then, but there's a relaxing calmingness around you that you've created because you certainly both didn't come from that. So that's just amazing. And then the workbook itself, I thought I could just start by asking you, you know, you say a guide for self-discovering and healing, and that word is an interesting one to me. So I'm curious what healing means to both of you and why it was included.
I think a big part of why the workbook is so special to both Emily and myself is because we didn't necessarily have something like this when we were going through our really, I would call my times like very dark times, but we didn't have that. And I don't think I really ever found healing per se, truly, actually, until I got clean and sober. Then I found healing and I found it that way. And so for the past 15 years of focusing on that, that's where a lot of my healing came in. And a lot of it came from like learning from other people and getting support in ways that I didn't have when I was younger. And I think that's why a huge part of this workbook, we really wanted to create like, what would we have wanted when we were that age? You know, like, what would I have wanted? What would like 14-year-old Jen have wanted in a workbook? And like, it's even little things of like the cover of the workbook. We didn't want it to say self-harm. We didn't want it to be blatantly obvious what this workbook was about because we want people to feel comfortable holding it or being out somewhere and like taking it out of their backpack or something. You know, we wanted it to be what I would have wanted when I was younger and what Emily would have as well. So I think that's like another part of it that we don't really talk about too much. But to me, that was really important.
Is this workbook designed for teenagers, or what ages did you have in mind when you created it? Because I actually didn't realize that.
So we don't have necessarily like a very specific age group, I think, because a lot of teenagers do tend to fall into the category of self-harming behaviors. The idea is a lot of teenagers will hopefully use it, but it's really for anybody. It's for anybody at any age. But you know, like when you're in your 30s, you don't necessarily want to carry around a workbook that says like, learn how to stop cutting, you know, like no one wants to carry that around. So it's probably going to target a lot of adolescents, but we want it to be for everybody.
I love that. But it's so helpful to know that this is geared towards adolescents, for anybody listening that has somebody in their life, to know that adolescents have no tools, or we as adolescents had no tools. Maybe it's different now with the rise of social media and internet access that we didn't have as teenagers, which makes us sound really old. But that's the thing. We were so toolless as adolescents. And even, you know, Emily, going back to the beginning, how you said like wanting to get out of your own skin, like nobody ever said that. So it felt like such an isolating experience. And nobody ever talked to us about emotions and what they feel like in our body and sensations and how the emotions go through. Like we had no outer education around the internal experience, which left us toolless, especially in those moments. And everything feels so much more intense when we're an adolescent, because our whole world is just school and back, school and back, school and back. Whereas where we get to be an adult, like, we can find pockets of joy in other places, other people, other situations. We can move if we have to, you know, there's so many things that make us less stuck. So amazing to actually say, here, teenager, here's an actual tool. This is what it feels like in your body when you're triggered. And here's what you can do instead. So, Emily, what does the word healing mean to you?
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Emily, what does the word healing mean to you?
Yeah, so for me, when I think about healing, I lean towards the space of the self-healing, right? Going inside of yourself and really understanding what's happening in your body so that you can then take that and use it to inform what you then do, right? To no longer go towards self-harm, but to choose something that's actually going to be helpful for your life and actually address the thing that's happening inside of you. However, also, I think, especially when you're talking about adolescence, you know, we're talking so much about being isolated and lonely, it's pulling in community, you know, and that was another thing we talked about, right? This connection that we had over something that was harmful. And so I think in the workbook, there's a few exercises to share outwardly, to, you know, write a letter to someone that you love to let them know what's going on for you, because it's not something that you can do alone. You know, yes, you can do the workbook on your own, but the point for the overall healing, you have to pull people in. And not everyone has a parent. So the loved one might be someone else, you know, might be asking someone to seek out therapy. It might be a guidance counselor at school or a teacher or a friend. But the point for me is that it's important that through healing, that to be able to heal, you have to pull in community also.
I was really impressed with that template because I think we get the most frozen around our loved ones and sharing the things that we're doing that we don't want to be doing anymore or know that are harmful, whether that's disordered eating, cutting, abusing alcohol or using drugs. There's so much shame around those things when it comes to like speaking them, in my experience, which is limited. But when you give a template that says, this is how I can express this to my family who doesn't understand, you give power to the person by taking so much of that heavy lifting away that gets stuck in your throat. But I thought it also shined light on the fact that your loved ones probably aren't going to understand initially what the self-harm behavior is truly about. What, in your professional opinion or personal lives, whatever you choose to share, either of you, do you find is a typical response of a loved one responding to finding out that their daughter, sister, whatever, is self-harming?
So I actually used the template that we created with one of my clients. So before we had advertised about it, I had given certain activities to some of my clients to test out, like, how are they going to like them? Are they going to be effective? And the template was actually exceptionally effective. And I had a client and a parent sit in with me. And, you know, I had given it to the client prior and said, fill it out, you know, change whatever you need to change, keep whatever you want to keep. And it was so helpful in doing exactly that, in lifting this responsibility almost of like trying to think of what to say, because it's basically like written for you and it can be adjusted. But the reaction from my experience in my professional life is always different than the perceived, you know, or the assumed reaction prior to talking about it. And I have seen a lot of parents be very open to listening, being, you know, given tools when you talk about this, and then you can give people some tools of what to do. Like, one of our tools in our workbook is our safety plan. A safety plan is a tool to use with a parent as well. I have found that parents are much more understanding, but I do find that there's a lot of unknowns still when it comes to self-harm that I can't guarantee someone. You know, I'll never guarantee someone that if they talk about it, it's never going to happen again. You know, I can't sit down with a parent and say, your, you know, kid disclosed this, it's never going to happen again. That's not true. Most of these things take a really long time to heal. And so I think setting more realistic expectations for people is also one of the things I try to do, because I don't want anybody to think that this is like a magic cure all, that they talk about it one time and it goes away. It doesn't. These are things to work on for months and years sometimes. So I try to focus on setting those very realistic expectations when it comes to stopping a specific behavior or like decreasing the behavior. So I have found the template to be one of the most effective tools in disclosing self-harm.
There is a misconception that I'm familiar with, and I think in your book you talked about it too, that self-harm, at least in the form of cutting specifically, is for attention. What would you say to that, Emily?
I actually just recently read something where so many times people say, oh, they're doing that for attention, right? So whether it's cutting or anything else, there's the sense of it's for attention, but really it's connection seeking, right? And so if you think of it that way, it's never for attention. It's one, to deal with difficult feelings in the only way you know how. And it's wanting to connect, right? Like when you wear something on your body, it's screaming a message of I'm in pain. And it's not about the attention of look at me. It's see my pain. Please, someone see my pain.
It's screaming for help.
Exactly.
Oh, you said that so beautifully, I think. And it also, as you were saying it, made me think like, okay, so is attention a bad thing? Right? We have this idea they just want attention. They're so attention seeking that makes them self-centered, more important than other people. It's like, no. Okay, maybe it is for attention then. Let's like scale that back and be like, because they need attention and help. And you know, more of not, I'm not laughing at it, but I think that we need to reframe that the idea of needing attention also as being a bad thing. And a lot of the people that need attention are neglect of attention in their lives where it is deserved and needed, especially during the formative years where we are still, you know, we might look like mini adults as adolescents, but we're still babies.
Exactly. You said exactly what I was thinking. You know, I classify what I went through as neglect, and that's a form of abuse. And so, yeah, you're right. I needed attention, but I didn't need it from the people in school who were seeing it, right? I needed it from my parents. I needed it from an adult who could help me deal with what I was experiencing.
Really, really well said. In the book, you start by including your own stories. What was the purpose of that? And I ask that because, again, you guys are not just two people that got together to create a workbook. You are therapists. And it's not often that we hear therapists share their own journey. So what was it like to share that and why did you?
So we felt like it was really important to be honest about our experiences, one, but also it adds something to the workbook, right? It adds something for someone who is going to pick up this workbook and use it to know that the people who wrote it have been where they are, who have gone through the same things and are also on the other side of it, I think is a really important message to send to the people who are using it.
Beautifully said. Jen, in the beginning, you were talking about the physiological response of cutting or when we're injured. And you share about that in the book too. It really spoke to me. But for anybody who doesn't understand cutting, whether you know somebody who is doing that or don't think you do, can you share what happens when you do cut for people to understand why it is a coping mechanism, an unsafe one, but a coping mechanism nonetheless?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that's really interesting about cutting, but that's kind of very similar to drug use, is that when you get an injury on your body, especially like bleeding, obviously there are reactions on a physiological level that your body tends to like release endorphins, right? And endorphins are kind of like this natural numbing effect, trying to like, you know, numb whatever kind of pain. You know, it's like when people get really injured and sometimes they don't even like notice at first, right? People who may have gotten shot, right? They don't even notice at first because their adrenaline is so hyped up and it kind of essentially like numbs everything else, right? And so in a very similar way that there is drug seeking behavior and drugs target specific parts of our brain, cutting does something very similar in that it, one, I think pain in general takes, physical pain in general takes our minds off of more emotional, mental pain, right? And then literally in your body, when you're bleeding, your body has this natural response of adrenaline, which then automatically kind of like numbs other things as well. And so cutting is like a very interesting, we'll call it a coping skill because it temporarily might work, but typically in the long run does not end up being all that helpful. In fact, can be very, very harmful, but it does, on a physiological level, it does make you feel a little bit euphoric or numb in the same way drugs do.
I think also when we talk about healing, when your body is injured or your body is sick, if it's working properly, the first thing that it tries to do is to start the healing process. When you experience an emotional pain and you don't know how to heal that, So you seek out the physical so that your body starts healing. You experience it everywhere, right? So yeah, there's the physical healing of the wound, but there's an emotional relief that happens in that also.
I'm going to assume that this is a addictive behavior that's hard to break. Speaking from experience, would you guys agree?
Yes,
definitely.
It's just something that I think is really eye-opening because I think most of us can digest that alcohol is addicting and something hard happens in our life, we turn to it. Harming yourself, physical pain as it presents itself, is hard to believe that this would be a habit to break. But now that you've described it as this physiological cascade of adrenaline that takes the pain away from where it is in our body, it makes a lot more sense to me as somebody who never went down that route, really. It's so helpful to understand the human experience in that way. And given that it's so instantaneous, I assume it could be really hard to break because very few things are that instantaneous when we're in pain. Sitting with our own pain, right, is a really hard task if we're used to running from it.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
In your book, you talk about different coping skills and you label them as harmful, healthy, and neutral, I believe. Did I get that right?
I think it's healthy, unhealthy, and neutral. I think we picked, right? I think.
Healthy, unhealthy, and neutral. Neutral being in the middle. Can you explain the difference between the three coping techniques and how having these on hand can help somebody in those heightened sense of I need to get out of my body to think about what's the best thing for me?
To your point before, right, you said there aren't a lot of things that are going to provide immediate relief to the emotional pain. And I would say that pretty much anything that provides immediate relief to the emotional pain is going to fall under the unhealthy category, right?
So yeah.
Cutting, binge eating, drugs and alcohol, you could fill in lots of things there. Mm-hmm. So I would say that anything that's the immediate and self-destructive would be the unhealthy. Neutral, I would classify more under like the zoning out. So scrolling on your phone, watching TV, playing video games.
Distracting yourself.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And so then the healthy ones are going to be the ones that aren't so easy, that aren't so quick, right? It's daily meditation practice. It's breathing. It's journaling, calling somebody, the coping skills that often make us more vulnerable, that force us to sit with the feelings and not push them out.
I would also say to add on neutral, because I think neutral is where it can get a little bit murky and can get a little bit confusing. Something that I think in particular falls into neutral are some of these other techniques that you might discuss with someone instead of them. It's almost like a harm reduction technique of, instead of cutting, snap a rubber band on your wrist, hold an ice cube for a period of time. It's still a harmful, in a way, behavior, but not as harmful as cutting, right? Because any object that you use, obviously there's always a risk. You hit something incorrectly, you hit something, a vein, it might be dirty, you might get an infection. So something like snapping a rubber band on your wrist or holding an ice cube is still on a level of harmful, but not as harmful, if that makes sense.
But still providing a sensation, especially when somebody is trying to wean, right? It can be so hard from having this as your vice and then saying, okay, meditate, right? Like that's a leap.
Yes, that's a leap. And it also typically people won't do it, right? Because we're looking for something physical, right? You're obviously looking for something physical. And so to say like, just don't cut, just like maybe go read a book or something like that, they're not going to give the same effect. So we want to kind of replace it with in certain instances, with a less harmful option. So that's where I would say like neutral also falls in.
Right. And it's so helpful to really think about that, because like we talked about, the physiological response of cutting is the adrenaline. So to take that away from somebody and then have them sit with their emotions, unlikely to cause lasting change would be my guess. So, you know, obviously anybody who is cutting beyond the workbook needs to be working with a professional to go through these changes. But my hope is in sharing this is not only to promote the workbook, which is such a great tool, but also give some insight into the self-harm mindset. If you have never been there, or if you are there, to know that you're certainly not alone. In your book as well, you talk about a safety plan and helping readers create one. And I think you mentioned it as well earlier, Jen, but briefly, what is a safety plan?
Yeah, a safety plan is a really good tool that you can literally have either like a printout of, like I usually print out safety plans for my clients when we create them together. And so the point of a safety plan is to start to learn what your warning signs are that like something may be brewing, right? In this instance, that you might have a desire to cut, right? So what are some of the warning signs that you notice? Do you start to get intrusive thoughts? Do you start to feel something in your body? Do you start to, you know, withdraw from friends? Are there things that you can notice and you write them down so that you can actually have this in front of you? Are there things that you notice that you can then like pause and say, what are some things I can do right now? Can I call this person? Can I go this place? And so we write down, because when you're in crisis, it's really hard to think clearly. We write down people, their phone numbers, places that you can go to distract yourself, things that you can do. I always include the number for your local crisis services, obviously numbers, obviously for like 911, your closest hospital, things like that. So that when you're in a crisis, you don't really have to think too much, because when we're in crisis, we have a hard time thinking clearly. So if it's all down on paper, you, your parent, your loved one can go to your safety plan and say, what are some things that you can try right now, right? We include coping skills on there as well. What are some things you can do? Take a walk, go to a coffee shop, go to a record store, call your friend, things like that, so that it's literally all written out for you. You don't even need to really think about it at that point.
Well, I think that's brilliant. And just hopping a little further, you talk about triggers in your life. And, you know, I think when I think back to high school, like there was no awareness to a trigger. It was just like, I feel really bad in my body, make it go away. Like we had no insight around what came before. So I loved how you specified external and internal triggers and give people something to recognize that something comes before the inward explosion. And the more you study yourself and get to know that, the more you can stop the, you know, train wreck that might feel inevitable in other circumstances. So I think you guys just did such a wonderful job, and it's really hard to work together. So I think that's also really cool and speaks to maybe your connection to it, how connected you guys are, not because it, you know, just from like a really like soul level, you guys are really connected and it came out so beautifully. Is there anything else about the workbook that you want to share that we missed?
We are going to try and make this workbook into print. And right now it's as an ebook. And we are going to print it because we both love the idea of actual something you can hold in your hands. So stay tuned because we are going to print it.
That'll be awesome. I agree. A journal for me has to be something I can write in. And I think that a lot of people would love to be able to gift this as well to those in need, whether it's a parent to help a child or a friend even. I mean, like I said, it's written, it's not geared towards, when I read it, it didn't read like this is for just adolescents. It read towards this could be helpful for anybody, even if you don't self-harm, just to get to know triggers, have a safety plan in place, just start thinking about yourself. Like, I just thought it was really well done and I'm really proud of you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I think it's worth saying that Jen and I both, when we thought to do this, we both wanted to do it separately. We had both had the idea and knew that we needed to do it together. We knew that each of us individually couldn't have, I mean, I guess we could have, but didn't want to do it on our own. We wanted to do it together. And I think that it's what it is because we did it together.
I'll just finish with one question that I've always had that maybe you guys can help with, which is I've come across people in my life that have scars from cutting either on their wrists or ankles. They're usually quite noticeable or sometimes quite noticeable. What is the best way to, when you notice it on somebody, not make them feel seen in that way? Should you acknowledge it or should you not?
I think it's a really personal feeling. I think that some people might feel seen by you seeing it, acknowledging it, and others might feel really embarrassed or ashamed of it. So I don't think there's a one way to do it. I would err on the side of caution and just not say anything. But, you know, I think that you can't make someone feel anything, right? So if you notice it, you notice it. And there's nothing really you can do about that. You don't have to call attention to it. And that person's response is going to be what theirs is and where they are in their journey.
Jen, anything to add to that?
I also think it's a very personal thing. I also think, though, like letting people know just like here and there, hey, I'm here if you want to talk about anything. Hey, I'm always here as a support for you. I also think it depends. Like there are certainly people that you notice that have like old looking scars, if they look old, there might not be a reason to address. If they look brand new, I think you can always just ask like, hey, is there anything going on that you want to share? You know, I don't think necessarily pointing it out directly is always helpful because I do think the cycle of shame and guilt can perpetuate things. But I always think it's okay to tell people that you're there to support them. And if there's ever a time that they want to talk to you about something, you let them know that. I don't think there's ever too many times you can tell someone that you're there for support. I truly don't. And I think that's really helpful in and of itself, just so that they know that they're not alone.
Well, that's really helpful. And thank you for also bringing up the fact that it could be a new scar and how to address that or scab. So I'm really proud of you both and Jen specifically on your sobriety. Emily, I don't know if you have that in your journey, but you didn't share that. But I know that we did gloss over that, but wanted to definitely acknowledge that for you, Jen. Really proud of you both. We're going to link the workbook below and both of their information as well, so that if you resonated or want to reach out to them, they are two amazing light workers in this world. So thank you both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.